Nowhere else in human endeavor are solutions for the current day found in the past. Now, that's not to say you can't reform. That's not to say you can't rediscover principles. But to adapt eternal principles, to try to use yesterday's methods to solve today's problems, I don't know of anywhere. It's not in science. It's not in medicine. Where else does that work?
It's an understandable pull, but not the one that's in your best interest. Can you embrace the future with faith and accept the present, even with its uncertainty? You know, in businesses, ministries, it's like, how do we continue to move forward and learn from the past, collect those principles and forge a way forward in faith?
Welcome to the Huntley Leadership Podcast, helping leaders be a positive catalyst in the people they support, the organizations they serve, and the communities they live. This podcast will make you think, laugh, and grit your teeth with new determination to make your parish or business a place of transformation, passion, and purpose. If you're still breathing, you are powered for impact.
Welcome back to the Huntley Leadership Podcast. I'm your host today, Ron Huntley, and I'm excited to be joined today by Father Patrick Gilmurray. We're going to crack open the whole area of responsibility for bringing people to a place of spiritual maturity. But before we dive into that, I just want to let you know that there are some big things that we're working on this year to bring to be a bigger blessing to the Catholic community worldwide. So go over to our website, go to huntleyleadership.com and subscribe to our newsletter, because we want to keep all of our subscribers up to date first. It's really exciting. And so you're going to want to get over there, because you're not going to want to miss the announcements as they continue to come. Our team is working full blast behind the scenes. And in fact, we're probably going to move to once every 2 weeks as a launch for the podcast, to give us more time to focus on the things that we believe are going to make the biggest impact in the kingdom of God this year. So tune into that, and we'll get back to you with more information as it starts to come to life. But please pray for us. That would be so, we'll be so grateful for that. So Father Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ron. It's a pleasure to be here.
I did want to talk to you today about what it's like to be a pastor, and the weight of responsibility that comes with bringing your people to a spiritual maturity. What are your thoughts on that?
Ron, I've been ordained a little over 12 years, and honestly, I take the role seriously, but I have to say, I don't feel weight. I feel excitement.
That's awesome.
And I was ordained in September of 2012, and 2 days later I was here, assigned here to the parish, and I did everything I was trained to do. I considered myself to be a flawed but faithful, at least I tried to be, faithful priest. I was doing the things that first an associate pastor would do, and then came back after a year away as pastor. And I was here as a pastor for a year, and doing the things I knew to do to the best of my ability, and drawing life from that and enjoying that. And then a friend gave me the book Divine Renovation. And so as I read through that book, it was like scales dropped from my eyes. Mm-hmm. And in the span of time that it took to read that book, the image of what a priest and a pastor could be, or even should be, was shattered. And I say but shattered in a good way,
right?
And shattered because I saw potential, and I saw a new horizon. And I got excited. Imagine if my priesthood could look like, if my pastorship of a parish could look like if my parish could look like the parish Father James describes. If I could surround myself with people like-minded and missional, and how we could transform this community, how God could transform this community through us. What difference could we be a part of making? And I got excited. And so I went and I bought 20 copies of the book and I gave them to people I thought might be interested in reading them. And as you know, as some people I thought would be really interested turned out not to be. And the book languished on a bookshelf and never got read, maybe not still not read. But enough people did read the book and got so excited. And from those people, I was able to form my first leadership team.
Right.
And so we did a book study. We did the book study and we got the workbooks and we worked through Divine Renovation. And this all happened pretty quickly. Like I read the book in the spring of 2016 and we were at the conference in June. In 2016 in Halifax. And so, just excitement around what it would mean to be part of a transformation of this parish to become missional. Mm-hmm. And my team was equally as excited. And so when I say that there's no weight, what weight there is, and sometimes there is, but what weight there is, it's shared.
Ooh.
Right?
That's neat. Yeah.
And so it's not onerous by any means, or hasn't been for me, but that's only because of the people that have shared this with me. And the joys far outweigh any of the tribulations.
Mm. That's wild. So what I'm hearing is, you know, you're called to the priesthood, ordained, doing the work of an associate, becoming the pastor, engaged in the role of a pastor. Mm-hmm. And that role was replaced with a sense of opportunity. And so it's like, here's a trajectory as your role as a priest. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. But there's more. And you discovered the more. And the more had a huge horizon is what I'm hearing. And then all of a sudden, go ahead, please.
Well, that's exactly it. It wasn't that anything I had understood to be the role was wrong. Mm-hmm. Right. And I've had to say this to parishioners, you know, over and over again. It's not what we weren't doing anything wrong. We were, and we shouldn't feel guilty about what was. We were doing what we understood to do. Mm-hmm. We were answering the call as we understood it. And so I don't feel my first 4 years as a priest and my first year as a pastor was somehow deficient. I was doing what I understood God wanting me to do. Mm. But God had more in mind more. And it turns out that the more is the exciting part, at least for me. Right.
Well, I would. Yeah, that's a very humble approach, at least for you. But I think for all of us, you know, because once you see more, it's hard to not. No, it's hard to go back, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's impossible, yeah. Right? I couldn't. So as much as I don't regret I think I have two priesthoods, mm-hmm. the one before the book and one after. And I have no regrets about the one before. Right. But I couldn't continue to think of myself as a faithful priest if I went back to that way.
Mm.
My idea of what it is to be a faithful priest now has shifted, and the shift is more and it's exciting.
Right. Isn't that beautiful? It's neat that more can be exciting, because sometimes that's the very reason people don't consider something else, is because more doesn't look exciting. The thought of more, it's like, I'm exhausted now. I don't have the people. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. People don't want it. They're too busy. It's like, I can't take on another thing. I don't have enough emotional and spiritual strength to push that forward, as if it would be against everybody's will. And so they purposefully avoid it. And what I'm hearing you say is like, no, more is exciting. That doesn't make sense
me.
To the people. That, yeah.
But... And this is total. I mean, really, the fingerprints, God's fingerprints are all over this, because as I look back, the inspiration to buy 20 copies of the book and fling them around, here, read this, and wait to see what happened. I mean, that was just, and when other people got excited, boy, man, that was fuel on my fire.
Right.
When I wasn't the only one here to get excited about the vision that we could see for ourselves that came out of that book, mm-hmm. we're onto something.
Right.
Right. God, there's something happening. It's not just me.
Yeah. Yeah. And that can be the feeling too, from ordained priests is sometimes it's like, well, it's my responsibility. It's my job to be the one who's most passionate, who's most holy, who's most Christian, who's most faithful, who's most prayerful, and everybody else, they're really busy. So they can give a portion and that's going to have to be enough. And it's my faith that's going to have to protect and provide for this community. And that's onerous. But what you're saying is no, actually other people have that same sense of call and passion and, you know, and through their baptism to join me and co-create, co-collaborate on doing something amazing.
If this depended on me alone, we would be in big trouble. Yeah, right. This parish would be in big trouble.
And when you say me alone, in what capacity? Because clearly it's like you can't do the altar serving and the music and celebrate the Eucharist and clean your house and, you know, all the things that like, and so what do you mean alone? You mean that form of alone or the other? No,
for the, you know, if I were going to be the one that was, you know, going to be doing the holy work, if I was the holy one and I was lifting up the whole community, it was only me. If others weren't responding to their baptismal call as priest, prophet, and king, if all of that were riding on me, we would be in the dust. I don't have shoulders big enough for that.
Fair enough. And did you see, as your leadership shifted, as your sense of opportunity shifted, as your sense of more shifted, were you successful? Were you guys successful at waking more people up to their baptism? Like, tell me about that. Or was it just those few people that you flung the book at who got it, and it's you and those three people ever since? Like, tell me more.
Yeah. So we were really gung-ho. We were wanting to start Alpha like that September after the 2016 conference. And there was a diocesan program at the time to really survey in-depth parishes, and the parish discernment went diocese-wide. So that we didn't want to preempt that. And so we held off. And that was a blessing because we could start talking about Alpha for a year even. Mm-hmm. So we didn't start Alpha until September of 2017. Mm-hmm. But we had some time to really plan it out well, to do research well as to what would make an Alpha successful, what would kill it. And so our first Alphas were actually, we did make some mistakes, of course, but nothing that was too critical. Mm. And it was at the end of that first ministry year. So we started Alpha in September of 2017, and it was in the spring of 2018 that when we were looking at the Easter season, I discovered in the Roman Missal that there's such a thing as a Pentecost mission or Pentecost vigil. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that before. Maybe I should have. I had certainly never seen it celebrated. Mm-hmm. And so when we kicked it around at leadership, it just was the most natural thing in the world. Why we should be celebrating Pentecost to the hilt. Hmm. And if we're, you know, and let's just get on this. And so we did a Pentecost vigil that year in 2018. And it was, we have a Spanish speaking community here. Mm-hmm. So it was bilingual. And that first year pretty well received. And the following year in 2019, we added to that a dinner afterwards. So we had people register in advance, and we have a nice hall. And so after the vigil, let's get together in community and celebrate in the hall, have dinner. again, celebrating Pentecost, celebrating the mission. And we, by this time, we've run a couple more alphas. Hmm. And so now there's the word is spreading and the excitement is spreading. People are starting to come alive, to come awake. Hmm. And then in 2020, we were shut down, and we were shut down for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And so in 2022, it just happened that the first day locally here, we were allowed to gather in any kind of numbers in the hall, was Shrove Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And it happened to be the day that Divine Renovation was doing a webinar about what is God asking of the church.
Mm-hmm. Bishop today. Barron and Nikki Gumbel,
Bishop
right?
Bishop Barron and Nikki Gumbel. And
Father James, yeah.
And Father James. And so we did two watch parties. Mm-hmm. We did a watch party in the hall with the regular Shrove Tuesday kind of food. We did that live when the podcast was live. We also did it in the evening, where watching the recording. And we were fortunate enough to have you join us after live from Halifax on Zoom, mm-hmm. and just to talk about that that experience. And we came away from that, and so we're right on the pretty much on the cusp of Lent, and we started thinking about, well, should we have a Lenten mission? Well, it's pretty late to be thinking about a Lenten mission when Lent has already started. Right. And it's like, okay.
But other priests are listening and go, that's usually when we think about it. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah. And
we had done a Lenten mission before, years ago. But yep. we weren't even sure when the restrictions were going to be lifted. So I mean, there was no pre-planning. There was no opportunity to right. think about this months in advance. We didn't know that restrictions would be lifted. So not to lose the opportunity of momentum that would give, we kind of right. thought, well, what about doing a mission? Why does it have to be Lenten? Let's think about a mission in the Easter season. And as we... Honestly, I think it was just a combination of practicality, mm-hmm. Of giving ourselves the most possible time to plan and execute mm-hmm. and spread the word, but also the idea that why not a Pentecost mission? Like, it would give us the most time in the Easter season, and it was one of those moments where it's the brilliance of it didn't come through until it was said out loud. What about a Pentecost mission? And it was like, yeah, why not a Pentecost mission? Why can't we do a parish mission on Pentecost? That is the most of all of the things to celebrate with a mission, Pentecost. It's just, you say it out loud, right. Huh, has anyone ever heard of this before? Has anyone ever heard of a parish doing a Pentecost mission before? No, why not?
Right, that's the great next question. Why not? I just thought it was the most exciting idea I have ever heard. And I thought to myself, I don't know why. It seems so obvious to me. And maybe, you know, you listeners are going, oh, this is why it's not obvious. And then please write us a note and let us know. Because the why not made so much sense to me, because Pentecost was such a time of renewal. It was an explosion of grace. It was an explosion of the church. It was such a wild time. And yet, I don't know that we do a very good job of celebrating it and inviting people to enter into it with that same expectant faith of being clothed with power from on high. And so I just, yeah, when you shared that with me, and that's why I want to have this podcast, is I want people to wrestle with this concept that you innovated in my mind. And because I'd never heard of it before, I never once have been at a Pentecost mission or heard of another Catholic globally who's ever thought of having one. So what was that like for you guys?
Well, again, it was looking back, God's fingerprints over over our endeavors here over time and the natural progression. So from starting to celebrate a Pentecost vigil just on its own, and then adding to that, yes, the meal, adding to that, it was just such a natural progression. Why wouldn't we do it? Right. And you were able to join us and lead us in that mission. And it was absolutely a game changer. We can't not celebrate Pentecost. As you know, I went on a sabbatical last year, right after Easter. I was away for 5 months. I wasn't here for Pentecost last year. Well, my leadership team can't let Pentecost go. So they took it on themselves to do an event. They brought in one of your podcast guests, Louis Kane, and we zoomed him in, and he gave a talk. And there were, so now Pentecost, we have the Pentecost vigil. We go over to the hall and we eat. They brought Louis Kane, joined by Zoom, and gave a beautiful talk, a very inspiring, beautiful talk. And then we, our praise and worship musicians are there and leading praise and worship music. And Louis led them into, prepared them for the adoration. So there was adoration. And it was another mountaintop experience for many people in the parish.
Wow.
And this year we're excited. We're in the process of making arrangements to have a very well-known musician come and join us and work his magic in a Pentecost mission with us. And again, the details are final. I can say his name.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Chris Bray. Yeah. We're talking with Chris Bray and I think
another podcast guest.
Okay. There you go.
He just wrote a book too, Father Patrick, and it just came out. I'm going to have him on again to talk about his book. He just wrote an amazing book, and you're going to want to get your hands on it. I'll make sure he brings you a copy and signs it for you when he comes to do your mission. But
sweet.
But I love your innovation. I love your commitment to this concept. You know, the whole idea of parish renewal, the whole idea of parishes reaching their full redemptive potential doesn't happen if not by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so often churches wrestle with, well, how do we continue to lean in to a friendship with the person of the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. And I think it is a bit of a journey. I think to your point earlier, like more and more people were taking Alpha, so more and more people were coming alive. Because, of course, one of the pivotal moments in that Alpha experience is that weekend that's focused on who is the Holy Spirit and how can I be filled. And as Catholics and other people that come to experience Alpha come to know the fullness of the love of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, everything changes. And then I think it's momentum to the, and that's what you talked about. That word momentum is so important, but you've been very strategic and intentional. Not that you've planned it out, you know, 5 years down the road, but but your intention, your guys' collective intentionality and your relationship with the Holy Spirit and constantly discerning together as a team has just created this exciting innovation of impact. I get so excited about what you're doing and why and how. And like you say, God's fingerprints. Like, you know, it wasn't a mapped out plan that it was something that continued to unravel through faith and walking in faith by the power of the Holy Spirit, leading out of a team, believing that more is possible and being excited about what you're being called to lean into by God. That's what I see in you.
I think one of the books that has helped me is Canoeing the Mountains. Todd Balsinger, and the idea that to be faithful today means to have the heart set of an explorer. And in his book, the analogy that he makes is Lewis and Clark, and the skills, the gifts that they brought to the expedition and the mission that they were entrusted with. to find a water route across the continent. When they set out, what they were expecting that what was in front of them was pretty much the same as what was behind. And then they got to the Rockies and realized, well, no, that's out of the window. That's and how are we going to get these canoes over these mountains?
Yes.
And so the different mindsets that they brought to problem solving, the different and just the spirit of being willing to venture out, to take a step into unfamiliar territory, knowing that you might, it may not work. And it's okay if it doesn't. Learn and keep going.
And that is the definition of faith, isn't it? Like, you don't need faith if you know what you're doing and you know where you're going. Like, I know how to get from here to there. I don't need faith. I mean, faith maybe that the canoe will get me there, or the car will get me there, or my legs will get me there. But what you're talking about is uncharted territory. It does require faith. And isn't it our natural inclination to head back to what we know?
Over and over again, you know, that's something that pops up. It's a struggle I have at times. But whenever there's, the Israelites did it.
Yes. At least back in Egypt, we had 3 square meals and a place to get buried.
I mean, I chuckle at the account now. You know, when we had all the bread we could eat, and we were sitting by the flesh pots and all that, like they ever ate meat, and they had their fill, and they were just lounging around, and you know, please talk about distorted memory.
Yeah.
And when we are unsettled, which is natural, and especially when something doesn't work out the way we hoped, it our memory of what used to be gets distorted, and we can start thinking of things in the past as being better than they were. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, wasn't life simple when we didn't have running water and toilets and cars and planes and families just stayed home? And boy, that was such a good life. They lived off the farms. They cleaned their clothes with their hands on a washboard. Yeah. Like, life was so beautiful and simple then. It's like, yeah, but it wasn't.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
and even the church, right? There's just such a pull to go back to all kinds of stuff that we left hundreds of years ago, or maybe 100 years ago, and just think, because that's when the church was its strongest and that's the best, and there's this pull to go back, and I understand it. Mm-hmm. And yet going back is not.
So, I mean, nowhere else in human endeavor are solutions for the current day found in the past. Mm. Now, that's not to say you can't reform. That's not to say you can't rediscover principles that you may have.
And learn from the past. Right?
But to adapt eternal principles, to try to use yesterday's methods to solve today's problems, I don't know of anywhere. It's not in science. It's not in medicine. Where else does that work?
Mm. Geez, you see, you think about midlife crisis, right? People, you know, go back, they revert back to their early 20s thinking that that's when they were their happiest. And instead of embracing where they're at in life and moving forward with a sense of maturity and acceptance, they like go back and, you know, guys trade in their wives and get fast cars, and, you know, women tend to go get surgery. And it's like, really? Like, I mean, it's an option. It's an understandable pull, but not the one that's in your best interest. Like, can you embrace the future with faith and accept the present, even with its uncertainty? I mean, probably at every level of life, that's going to be, you know, in businesses, ministries. It's like, how do we continue to move forward and learn from the past, collect those principles, and forge a way forward in faith?
In faith.
Yeah, in faith. Wow. So fun. And so, you know, I set up the whole conversation today, Father Patrick, with asking you the weight of bringing people to spiritual maturity. I loved your answer because it wasn't what I was expecting. I don't feel the weight. I feel the opportunity, the excitement because of your evolution in as a Christian man. Like, God loves you and he's shown you more. And through your vocation of priesthood, you've embraced the more. You haven't clung to the past. You learn from the past. You don't regret the past, but you build on it in faith. And I think the way you live that out of a team, oof, there's redemptive power in what you're doing.
There are times where there are isolated times of feelings of weight, but they're short-lived for me generally, because it's not my church, and this isn't my parish. And so if I just try to be faithful, then God will see to it that this parish becomes what God wants this parish to be.
Just writing a book right now with Father Sammy Maletta, and you've basically just quoted two of our chapters in what you just said right there. it's so beautiful. I'm just editing it last night, so it's fresh on my head. Like, son of a gun, there must be some truth in what's being expressed, because you've just articulated it beautifully. And I think that's the fun part. You know, speaking of Father Sammy Maletta, you know, I know that's a parish. Your guys' parishes are very different. Your spirit and your heart for what you're bringing about in your parish is very similar. But what I love about it is, you know, he has a ginormous staff and, you know, two campuses and, you know, probably 2,000 people on a weekend coming there. And that's all lovely. And that has its own set of challenges and opportunities. Yeah. And your church is around 300 to 400. You know, you're just starting to bring more staff on board slowly, but most, you know, all volunteers in terms of your leadership team, two different places, two different scenarios and situations. And yet the same heart for renewal, the same belief that God can transform lives, the same focus on evangelization and leadership development. And one of the things that you and I talked about, and I just love this concept. I know when I was at St. Benedict Parish and working there with Father James, we had this opportunity at different times to bring on to mentor priests that would come for 6 months at a time and really apprentice in an environment where something was happening that was very different, and that there was a belief that this could be repeated and multiplied. And you and I talked a little bit about that, like are you in a place where you and your team would be willing to apprentice a priest, maybe from another diocese, who's thinking to themselves, I want renewal. I want to be a part of this. I want to learn, not just in theory, but I want to taste it, touch it, experience it. What are your thoughts on that?
Ron, we actually already have mentored a priest. I had an associate that was here from when we started Alpha 2017, right through to just before COVID locked everything down. So we had someone here. No, he was an associate. He wasn't labeled a mentee. Sure. But he was from Tanzania, and so a different culture, very different way, very different culture in terms of church. In some ways, though, a bit ahead of us in terms of the involvement of lay people in actual pastoral ministry. But he was here, and he gave one of the most touching endorsements, the most a quiet man generally, but when he got up to speak at his kind of farewell gathering, the endorsement he gave was absolutely, it just rang in the hearts of the people. It was a clarion affirmation. He said, and I'll quote the best I can, like, in the 3 years that he was with us, the change in the parish was absolutely unreal. Like, it was just, it was just a remarkable change in the parish that he was able to witness, that the power of the Holy Spirit was becoming more and more evident and in the people and in the response of the people to the acceptance of mission. And so it turns out that, you know, he left here and he went and spent the COVID years in Toronto, and he's come back to this diocese now. And as of January, he has his own parish, and he's learning. He's doing the things that you do, the wise things you do as a pastor new in a place. But I'm really excited to see how his time with us will have an impact on how he pastors that parish going forward. In terms that answer your question directly, we believe that God blessing us will lead us in different ways, we hope, to have opportunities to be generous. And if we can be a blessing to others, then we're all about that. That would give us great joy. So if that means mentoring another priest and giving that man a lived experience of what a parish undergoing and struggling with, but also celebrating renewal is, then perfect. And our bishop is on board with that too. So our bishop is on board. If that were to happen, he's totally on board.
I love that. And so if you're listening to this podcast right now, you're a bishop, you're a priest that's in a situation where you're thinking, I want to learn, or you're a bishop and you see some young men that you really want to invest in and double down and have this missional mindset where parish renewal and co-ownership, co-responsibility of renewal is something you want to give them an experience of outside of their theological formation, then get in touch with me and I'll connect you with Father Patrick and his church. Again, what I love about this is I know Father Sammy's in a place where that's his heart's desire, and you're in a place where that's your heart's desire. They're both very different experiences. Some people would prefer a smaller experience because it's more consistent with what they live at home, whereas other people like that, no, we'd like to see what it's like as it's growing. And so I'm really excited about that because I think that's one additional part of the formation of priests that would be a blessing to the whole church. Because being a priest is more than academic, and we need a lived experience of renewal. And I think that lived experience it accelerates future pastors' potential and capacity to accomplish that themselves, to experience it. And so thank you for being willing to partner with other dioceses and bishops. Absolutely. And priests to give them that experience. Yeah, that's so cool. And thank you, Father Patrick, for sharing your initiative of a Pentecost mission. I hope, and if you're listening to this podcast and we're recording it during Lent, and so we'll make sure this comes out before, in around Easter. But if you decide to have a Pentecost mission, will you let us know? Send us a note. I would be so excited to share that with Father Patrick because I think it's an amazing idea. I think a radical reliance on the power of the Holy Spirit is an important part of explosive growth and impact. And this is a wonderful step in that direction. And so if other churches take on your idea and implement it themselves, that would make my day. How about you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like we felt like we discovered fire. I mean, when we dug into this idea of celebrating a full on Pentecost mission and really doing up Pentecost, it was just, wait a minute, how is this how have we not heard about this before?
How's the whole world not heard of it before? So it is wonderful when things come to light that seem so obvious that we wonder why we didn't do it before. And I, to your point, I think this is one of those things. This is discovering fire, and that's a great analogy. And so, again, I appreciate your sharing that with everybody today, and also giving people some insight into your story of evolution as a pastor and how, you know, one book helped shift your paradigm, and how leaning into that has helped you grow in your impact in mobilizing others. It's just an exciting story, Father Patrick.
And we hear it over and over again. God won't be outdone in generosity. I've been just amply blessed for what is essentially God's grace in the first place, of not recoiling from the book. That's just God's grace. But then going along with it and being curious, that's God's grace at work, but being blessed for it as well.
Amen. Well, thanks again for being on the show. I can't wait to know we'll have you on again at another time.
Thank you, Ron. It's been great. Thanks.
And for all you that have been listening and following along, thank you for all you're doing to make your church amazing, your business is amazing, your family's amazing. To live our Catholic faith to the fullest, it takes a lot of ownership, intentionality. And what I love is the Holy Spirit wants to pour grace upon grace into our lives to bring that to life. And a life lived in communion with God is the best life of all. So thank you for what you're doing. God bless you. Thank you for following along, subscribing. We really appreciate it. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
I want to encourage you, as you lead this week, be faithful to God and generous to others. See you next time, and remember, if you're still breathing, you are powered for impact.